Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Guys, we are currently on tour. As you know, we're touring around the country. Glasgow, Birmingham, Manchester, London. When you're listening to this, we're probably in...
Dublin.
So, and we are absolutely loving every single second of it.
Not every second.
We are loving it.
Not every second. I love being on stage. I love meeting the listeners.
What don't you like?
Your energy is funky. That is what I will say. It is.
Funky pigeon.
Let me tell you something. Glad Liv and Willis are there.
Who's Liv and Willis?
Liv is our manager and Willis is my hairstylist. And Jamie's just festering in his room watching Baby Reindeer.
Been watching the show and every single night I've been going to bed and dreaming that Sophie doesn't want to be with me. And in fact, one night I had a dream that she didn't want to be with me and she was... Then you were back with an ex-boyfriend of yours. And I was like, this is mental. I woke up the morning. It was actually quite sweet. I don't know if you've ever had a dream which has been so intense. I woke up in the morning and I was like, and I put my hand and touched you and you were there. And I was like, ah.
Yeah, I've had loads of those dreams. But I hate you for the whole day. Whole day. And the feeling doesn't go away. And it's just miserable. It's miserable. I'll never forget the dream when you put your arm around Melissa and you were wearing a bomber jacket and a cap and she didn't see me. She was like, hey, you were like in love and you saw me and I was stood and you were like, ugh. And you just walked off and I was like...
Wait, explain this in more detail. So you went to sleep. What was the dream?
So I go to sleep. I'm having a dream. I think, obviously that Jamie'd left me for Melissa or maybe he'd just left me in general. But
This is your best friend, Melissa.
Best friend, Melissa. I'm stood on the side of the road and they're walking through a park and Jamie's got a bomber jacket on. I know exactly the bomber jacket, that Miu Miu blue and red one. You've got a cap on and it's summer and she doesn't see me. And she's like arm around his waist. She's like, and he's like looking at her, like loving me. And then he sees, and I'm like, fuck, they're going to see me. Also like, fuck, this is happening. He sees me and he's like, ugh, just like you. And in the dream, I thought, right, come on. We can't be sad about this. We've just got to continue on with life. Like, I gave myself a pep talk. And then I think it could have lasted a week. I despised you. Like, you made me feel sick. And the feeling in my chest just didn't go. That, like, awful anxiety feeling.
Really? Because I left you?
Yeah.
Well, you keep acting like you are and maybe your wish will come true.
What was that?
It was me punching the air.
No, you keep...
Keep putting your chickens right and it may come true.
You keep acting like you are and boy, it might come true.
What will come true?
I'll force you to leave me.
How would you do that?
Just do things that you just would never imagine. I don't have the energy. Whoa.
All right, everybody. This is going to be a great episode. Welcome back to Newlyweds Podcast. Here we go, Sophie. Hello, I'm Jamie Lang.
And I'm Sophie Lang.
And we met 5 years ago.
And we're...
Married!
Married!
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
That's right. Can't get rid of me.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Newlyweds Podcast. I'm Sophie and this is...
Jamie. Welcome back, everybody. Well, as I said, we have been on tour, ladies and gentlemen. And firstly, a big thank you to every single person who has come so far. It's been amazing.
They are absolute legends. The crowd are crazy.
The crowd are wild.
The crazier the crowd, it makes such a difference when the crowd are just like hammered and having the best time. Like, it makes me so pumped up.
It does make me realize, I shout out to all of those musicians, comedians, rock stars, artists, whoever are touring. It is tiring. But yeah. Maybe they just do that. Maybe they don't do other stuff. Maybe they just do that. What do you think?
No.
No?
I think they probably have a bit of a harder time than us.
Really?
Yes. Are you joking?
Because they're trained professionals. We aren't trained, honey.
yes, and don't I know it, you're the most stressful energy backstage. What happens is Jamie can't, he looks through me when he's like, when something's occupying his mind, so when it was the wedding,
what are these notes you have in your hand?
Whatever it is, that boy just looks through me and he's just doesn't speak to me. He's like, goes, you turn into some weird little man. I don't know what happens.
Weird little man.
And then all you do is tap, the only time you talk to me is to boss me about. You'd be like, Sophie, make sure you do this. I'm like, fuck off. I'll do what I want to do. I'm okay. You're not.
Sophie, basically, when Sophie gets a bit tired, she hates the feeling of being tired. So what she does is she just boosts herself up with energy. Red Bull, Tenzing, boof, boof, boof. I come into the hotel room. She's having a drip. Okay, one of those IV drips.
I can't function on tiredness like you do, though. Like, I literally, to me, I have to be silent. And I have
I'm
to, like,
a legend.
Like, you just don't drink caffeine. You're rock bottom tired and you're like, right, off I go. Like, I physically don't fathom it.
Because I'm comfortable being uncomfortable. You're not, you weak little chicken.
Oh, God.
Okay, so anyway, I come into the hotel room. There's our manager and Sophie sitting with an IV drip going into her. I mean, what's that? She says, it's an energy drip.
No, well, I didn't say that.
You did?
I said, it's an immunity drip, and it was nothing to do with the drip.
Okay, I think it was.
No.
There was energy in that drip.
Jamie,
as well.
You have a carrot, and you think your skin's gone orange. You literally, Jamie's got a headache. Do you want a paracetamol? No, 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 I won't. Why? Just it's not going to do anything to you.
Bad for you.
Emily, the other week, I'm tired. Do you want an electrolyte? No. Like, what is wrong with you? But then you'll go knock back 10 whiskeys and eat, like, Wingstop. Like, none of it makes sense.
Anyway, judgy McJudgy over there.
Yeah.
Oh, is someone judging me?
So sorry that I went and got a really nice vitamin drip infused in me.
Anyway, there's a moment where Sophie and I come together and I came to you and I hold your hand and it's a moment in the show. It's a really amazing moment. And I looked at you and you were looking at me and I think it's because you didn't really know what was going on. All your lips and your face were like going, you were like quivering and I was like, is she okay? And I said, are you? And I
You're
leaned
such
in.
Such a fucking liar.
I swear to God, I leaned.
No, I wasn't. I came off stage and said to you guys, my mouth was literally like,
you know, I leaned into you because I leaned into you at that point. I said, it's going really well because I thought you thought it wasn't. That was
my
it.
Lips were not quivering. You're such a liar.
I promise you.
Guys, I'd had too much Red Bull and I thought I was having all the thoughts that were going through my mind were my body's having a heart attack. And I'm so Jamie was asking me questions and I was all I could think about was I'm going to drop dead on the stage and they're going to do an anatomy and they're going to say she had a caffeine overdose. So the only thought in my head was, about to have a heart attack on stage, about to have a heart attack. And then we cut. I don't think I spoke.
You did. You were so amazing. And you're, by the way, before we get into...
Oh, shut up. I can't. If you're going to just try and...
You were so good. What are you talking about? You're amazing.
You're so good.
Okay, well, you are so good. You're so funny. It's insane. You're amazing. This is unbelievable. Like, I got to give you credit where credit's due as well. I'll give you that in a second.
You'll give me that in a second?
Yeah, because you're amazing. But
what
honestly,
are you going to do now?
Honestly, Sophie came on stage and everyone was like, whoa, high fives at halftime. I was like, this is amazing. Sophie comes up and goes, I think I'm having a heart attack.
I said, no, it was so good. I went straight to Liv, manager Liv. She's like, yeah. I'm having a heart attack. Something's not right with me. They think what the team think is I actually don't get pre-show nerves. Like, I don't get adrenaline or nervous. Jamie's like literally dry mouth, can't speak, freaky energy.
And then I'm fine.
And then I think what happened was that was nerves because Manchester was amazing, but the crowd was
alive.
And I think for the first time I was like, whoa, this is intense.
Do you know what was honestly that? But also, can I say, you thought you were going to die on stage from a heart attack and they were going to give you a what?
An anatomy.
Okay, I just confused about that bit because that's a bit that confuses me.
Why?
An anatomy?
I don't care. It's obviously the wrong word. What are we going to do about it?
Every time I laugh, I get a head rush.
Yeah, me too. Every time I lift my head back, I get shooting pains in my head. I think I'm so dehydrated or something. Something's not right.
It's not an anatomy. What do you...
An anatomy. They cut you open and they see what killed you off.
A lobotomy.
An autopsy.
What other irritating things have I done then? Come get it off your chest.
Okay, so
here we go.
You're just really grumpy on tour.
I'm not grumpy.
I'm going to be honest, you are. I'm going to say it all how it is. You're grumpy. And then you say my energy's bad. I have a wonderful time. I'm high on life, having the time of my life. So you're grumpy.
Okay, come on, let more steam
off. Okay, right. So that's number one.
By the way, we do love each other, everyone, just to let everyone
know. Yeah, but
I'm
just really going to let rip now.
Okay, you let rip.
Number
honey.
Two is we've been looking for a house for 2 years. We for ages were looking in, should I say the areas? Two areas.
West London.
No, Queens. We were looking at areas I didn't want to live. But Jamie is like a dog with a bone. Like if he wants something, it's really difficult to steer him away from it.
And am I really like that?
Yes, it's really abnormal. And I, at this point, wasn't so obsessed with moving. Like I was quite happy where I was. We weren't even married then. I was like, oh, whatever. So I entertained going to view these houses in this area.
Queen's Park.
Queen's Park and Chiswick. By the way, lovely places. As we got older and, you know, families arriving, well, I'm not pregnant, but those sort of things, I thought, you know what, I don't want to be isolated. I want to be by my sister, I want to be by my friends, because touch wood, when I have a child, you know, I don't want to be isolated like 50 minutes away from
agreed home. I'm with you all the way on
so
this.
We start looking around areas I want to look at. James like, oh, you really want to live there? I'm like,
why
you
do you have to mimic
so
me?
Spoiled.
Why do you have to bring
oh
into
my
the
god you really want to live there? You realize we're going to see X, Y, and Z every day. I'm like, yeah, you grumpy git, who are we going to see in Queen's Park? No one. I'd rather
loads
see
of people.
No one. Okay. You want to live there because you think it's trendy. I know you.
No, it's not.
What? So anyway, right. So then we're on the show. We're doing the show. And Penny, Jamie's mum, goes to me, are you excited to see the house on Monday? I go, what house? The house in Brook Green. And then, yeah. He went, don't tell her. That sneaky bastard had booked in viewings without me in places I don't want to live because he thinks that he's got the gift of the gab. And I know you so well. You would have thought, oh, if I like it, I'll just convince her. I'll persuade her.
This is not true. Yeah. Producer Ewan, before you jump in, do you want to hear my side of the story
okay,
now?
Okay.
You've heard my wife's,
yeah,
who
on.
I love.
Yeah.
Now you can hear him.
Team Sophie currently.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Listen to this. We've been looking for a house, and I want you, the listener, as well, to really just chime in on this and let me know what you think. We never had a debate like this. Bring it home. Here we go. We've been looking for a house for 2 years, okay? London, as everyone knows, is really expensive, very hard to find a place to live. The area that Sophie wants is, I would say, is very expensive for what you get, but that's absolutely fine, and I wouldn't choose to live in that area. But that's fine. But I'm happy to do it because Sophie wants it. It's near her family, all this kind of stuff. We can't find any houses there at the moment. There is nothing. There is nothing at the moment.
There's thousands.
No, Sophie, be honest.
No, there is.
It's, honey, there's not.
There is.
Do not smile.
There is.
No, right. You're lying because that's not true.
With you.
No, Sophie, you've got to be honest because it's only fair if you're honest.
No, there's none that you like, but there are.
Okay, there are houses. But so the only house that we liked, we put an offer in and we didn't get it. Okay, so at the moment, there are no other houses that we want to put an offer in at the moment. I'm sure some will come up, but at the moment there's not. That's fair, right? Mm-hmm. So what I did is I went, right, can't find anything there. We need a house. I'm going to go and expand just a little bit out, further
we've
out.
We've already looked at these areas and I vetoed them. I said, absolutely no way, X, Y, and Z.
But hang
revisited,
on.
Revisited, didn't
I
we?
Went and had a look at them anyway. And I said to, I didn't say I was going to Sophie to have a look at them because I knew she would be upset that I was looking in these places. So I just went to look to how to expand my knowledge of what we get.
And then he comes home and he's like, do you love them? With my mum team tagging me. And I was like, and my mum's like, it's gorgeous. I'm like, what are you looking at?
No, that is outrageous.
Oh,
that's
my God,
outrageous.
Serious.
That is
what
appalling behaviour.
Do you agree?
Jamie.
Okay, all right, fair enough. It's not.
Oh my God, Jamie, that's a bad
okay.
Hour.
Okay, fine, I'll take the hit. I'm going to take.
I love you.
Okay, I'm taking the hit on that one. Then I owe you an apology. That's fair enough. I owe you an apology.
I appreciate that.
I didn't
that.
See it from your point of view. If you guys are saying that, I'll take it. However, so I owe you an apology
yeah,
on it. Fair enough.
Fair enough.
However, I do think, right, and you guys, come on, I do think you're going to have to expand your places of
okay,
where you want to live.
Okay, but communicate it with me. Don't do it behind my back.
Very fair. Okay, when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I've made a mistake here.
Amen, sister.
Wow, that was a good
wow, thing. I'm thrilled.
We had such a big argument that I slept on the floor last night.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Guys, I won't. Yeah, you said. No, guys, this
I
is actually
did.
True.
I slept on the floor for an hour and I was like, this is rough. I'm going back to bed.
No, guys, he went to me, grabs the like his pillow and he goes, and don't come and try and wake me up when I'm on the floor. I was like, I won't. 10 minutes later.
No, not 10 minutes later, honey. Not 10 minutes later.
Whose fault was that?
Totally my fault.
I didn't kick you out. You do it. Every time
acting like a child.
Every time we're in an argument, guys, every time he goes, do you think we should go on a break?
You said that to me, you liar.
No, I did, Jamie. I did not.
So honey, Jamie. I've accepted my fault. I've made a big mistake.
Okay,
here.
Fine. One time I said it because you were pissing off so much. But 90% of the time you chase me around the room going, just be honest then, you're not happy, are you? We've had a minute.
I am very, I apologize. I think on this occasion I've been in the wrong. I obviously didn't take into account your emotions on houses and stuff like that. I was just trying to do a good deed, and it looked like I was being sneaky when I wasn't meaning to be sneaky.
Okay, I understand.
And I'm sorry. Let's move on. And I slept on the floor for an hour last night, and it really wasn't fun. And
I don't believe you did that. I think you went and gamed for an hour.
Are you joking? No, I slept on the floor in the office.
There's no... Are you...
I swear on my life. I swear on my life.
You thought I was going to come down.
Yeah, and you didn't. And you didn't.
Did you actually?
I swear on my life, yeah.
I went straight to sleep.
Yeah, boom, out, like a light. Then I came upstairs and you were lying diagonal across the bed. I was like, oh, am I going to have to try and move?
Why wouldn't you have gone on the sofa, if anything?
Because I wanted to feel... I wanted you to feel the pain coming down and see me lying on the floor.
You sat on the floor? Well, you didn't even have a duvet.
Yeah, I had a rug, though, and that's all I needed. A rug and anger. Also, guys, we don't have a big announcement, but your sister has just had a huge announcement, which is...
She's pregnant! It's honestly the best news ever.
How does it make you feel? Just tell me.
Well, for anyone who's been, like, following, I don't know if anyone knows, but she's, like, got told she couldn't have babies. She's done, like, 3 rounds of IVF. She froze embryos. Like, she managed to scrape a couple of embryos out, and then she got pregnant naturally on her honeymoon. So it's, like, a real miracle. Best feeling in the world. I literally think about her 24/7. I'm like, I wonder if she's okay now. Hope she's okay now.
Your sister put up an Instagram post, and this is Sophie's reaction to finding out that Georgia was pregnant. And I just want to say this as well. What happened was, is Georgia came to the house. She obviously wanted to tell us both. Georgia said to me, she says, oh, I said, do you want something to drink? And she said, yeah, I have a coffee, decaf. And I went, all right, well, it's probably up there. Walked out. Sophie, she then said to Sophie the same thing. I'll have a coffee. And George went, decaf.
You can hear it.
Sophie went, and then realised straight away what it is. This is Sophie's reaction to finding out that her sister is pregnant. Listen, it sounds like someone's died.
Here we go. No, I need to stop. Am I okay?
Oh, can we just hear the top of that again? Listen, if you get the very top. Yeah, do you have anything decaf? Ready? Check out the very top of this. It's so good. Sounds like you're opening like a door.
It's because, like, basically, she booked in to get her... She should really come on and say this, but she booked in to have her embryo sort of, like, go through the fertility treatment and, like, the IVF journey.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you say that? Listen, if you want to find... Because she's going on Wednesdays, isn't she? So I'll tell you what, everyone, if you really want it, it's her story to tell.
Yeah.
She's going on your show Wednesdays. So if you want to hear about this amazing story, just go and listen to Wednesday's podcast with Sophie's sister. I'm so excited for us.
No, Jamie said to me the other day, because I talk about the baby all the time and I talk about Georgia all the time. Jamie turns to me, puts his knife and fork down. We're having dinner. He goes, you do realise this is not your child.
It's a great episode today to get it off the chest because we actually have a therapist coming on anyway. And this time it's a sex therapist. She's been on the podcast before. You may recognize her from our show or you may see her from Married at First Sight. Charlene Douglas is coming on, Soph, to talk about
your libido.
My libido. Because you know what? We've been chatting. It's been a little bit low recently. We don't know if that's because of tiredness, stress, maybe EDMR or EMDR. I can't remember which way around it is. The therapy. Stroking your nose at me. What does that mean?
Don't know, let's ask Charlene.
Okay, but before that, ladies and gentlemen, of course, it's the favourite part of the episode. It's...
Listener's Messages.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Listener's Messages.
Okay, I got one.
Okay, noggin.
Hey, Jamie and Sophie. About a month into me and my ex dating, I invited him to see a play with me and my friends. We all decided that we would go out after and celebrate at the wrap party with all the other actors. It was a heavy night of drinking, and unbeknownst to me, my ex had gone out the night before and then gone straight into work. Due to the lack of sleep, he had decided to take some caffeine pills. So we carried on with the night, drinking heavily, and then I took him back to mine. Me and my older sister were living with my parents at the time, and this was one of the first times staying with me. We got home and went straight to bed to be as quiet as possible. I was then shaken awake in the early hours of the morning. My ex was red-faced, obviously panicked. Still half asleep, I told him to go back to bed. He then started profusely apologising and started to panic. He then said, "It's about your sister." I immediately jumped up and sprinted to my sister's room. I walked into her room and my sister was crying with laughter on her bed. I asked her what had happened. She told me that my ex had sleepwalked into her bedroom talking to himself, sat down on her desk chair that was in the middle of the room and started to urinate on her bedroom floor. No. My sister then woken up due to the muttering and started to ask him what he was doing and if he was okay. Her talking then woke him and he shot out of the room.
No.
My sister, still in floods of tears, told me that she saw nothing because of how dark it was, but that it was the height of comedy. I then went back to see my ex, who was sitting at the foot of my bed, head in his hands, mortified. Later that night, I had to scrub my sister's carpet on my hands and knees to get the stain out. To this day, my sister and I have never told my mum and dad, and they still think the dog peed on her carpet.
Wild. I mean, why do people do that? I don't get that. People go and pee in people's rooms and cupboards and
have you ever done that?
Never done it. I've never peed.
You've thrashed about a couple of times in bed.
I have another listener's message, which is from Anonymous. Hey both, I absolutely love your podcast and have been a fan since the beginning, despite back then not being even close to marriage. Now you're talking about kids, I thought I'd share a funny story with you. So when my now 7-year-old daughter was around 4 years old, I was single but sleeping with a guy. I was living with my parents and they had gone away for a few days with my daughter but were returning on the Sunday. You can only imagine what went on these few days with this guy I was seeing. Sunday came along and as always, once my parents returned, we had my nan and granddad over for Sunday lunch. Well, at the time, my little girl had an obsession with pretending to answer the phone with random objects. Little did I realise I had forgotten to put away my vibrator from the weekend and left it on my bedside table. She had been in my room in the morning and had stolen it without me realising. To my utter shock, she brought it downstairs, holding it to her ear, pretending to speak to someone. She then proceeded to pass the vibrator to my nan for her to join in the conversation, saying, "It's for you, Ninny."
I'm done.
To say I died a little inside that day would be an understatement. To make matters worse, my 70-year-old nan somehow knew what it was and said, "Well, someone must have had a good weekend while our parents were away," announcing to the whole table what had just happened. The moral of the story is, guys, make sure you keep anything you don't want your kids finding in a safe space or else they will definitely find it.
Oh my God.
That is horrendous.
I never forget, I was once at an after party at uni and that we were all at, well, we were going back to someone's like bedroom because they maybe we were in halls and I just saw this really innocent guy just playing with something in his hand and I was like, and I saw he had picked up the girl's dip. Like vibrator and was just playing with it and I was like, do I tell him? Okay, I've got one from Phoebe.
Go on, Annie, hit me.
Hi, Sophie and Jamie. I absolutely adore your podcast and make sure to catch every single episode. I thought I'd share my parents' wild love story with you
as love
it's quite
this.
The roller coaster.
Really make it emotional. Come on.
Back in the mid-90s, my mum had just returned from an adventure in Costa Rica where she met my dad. It all started with a night out with her friend Kylie, who happened to introduce them. Now my dad, in his attempt to charm, leaned across the bar and let out what my mum describes as a growl. Talk about primal instincts. But my mum wasn't exactly swept off her feet. In fact, by the end of the night, dad ended up going home with Kylie instead. However, fate seemed determined to bring them together. They crossed paths again not long after, and dad doubled down on his effort to win mum over. And somehow, against the odds, it worked. Fast forward a week into their world with romance and it was dad's birthday. Mom, with her quirky sense of humour, gifted him a row of cigarettes and some beers. And that's when Dad had his aha moment, declaring Mom as the one for him. Their relationship progressed at lightning speed. Just 3 weeks in, they found themselves dining at a restaurant owned by my dad's friend Jim. As the drinks flowed and shots were downed, Jim, in all his mischievousness, dared them to get married for a bet of £500. Mum chuckled at the absurdity of it all, but Dad, well, he took it quite seriously. With a gaze full of determination, he turned to Mum and popped the question in his own unique way. Do you wanna? And just like that, they embarked on their whirlwind romance to the next level. Without a second thought, they whisked away to the Dominican Republic, keeping their plans a secret from everyone. On a picturesque beach with the waves as witnesses, they exchanged vows with knowing each other for just a month. 28 years later, their love remains as deep as ever. Through moments of grief and my mum's diagnosis with MS.
Oh, no.
Oh. They have continued to be each other's unwavering support and friend. Why did these things get me so much? Mum still buys Dad his birthday beers every year.
Oh, God.
Thankfully, he's kicked the smoking habit, and we affectionately refer to ourselves as the Three Musketeers. I couldn't have asked for crazier, more loving parents, and I hope this story brings a smile to your faces and maybe even a cringe or two, too, just like it does for me. Wonderful.
Gets me every time.
Gets me.
Every time, guys. Hey, I want to say a big thank you.
I think they are the best things in the world, those love stories.
I love them so much. Guys, keep sending them in because they're just amazing. Keep sharing them to @newlywedspodcast on Instagram, or you can send us an email, newlyweds@jampopproductions.co.uk, and everything is in the show description. That is amazing. It's made me feel great. That's the end of
Listener's Messages.
This next section of the podcast is brought to you by Love Holidays, the smart way to get away. Now, we are super excited about having them as a sponsor, as they've allowed us to do something pretty cool.
Very, very cool. Are you ready, Jamie?
We're really excited to announce that thanks to Love Holidays, we have given you, yes, you the listener, a chance of winning a £5,000 holiday.
Just mega.
Now, as I said, you can be a winner of this competition, and all you have to do is go to newlywedscompetition.com and tell us your best, or should it be worst, holiday disaster story, and then we pick it and we choose who's going to win, and you could be winning a £5,000 holiday.
Don't forget, T's and C's obviously apply.
God, you're such a stickler for the rules.
Do we have any disastrous holiday stories?
Oh, because the listeners are writing them, yeah. So maybe we... Okay. We have quite a few. We went to South Africa, and we were going up Lion's Head, which is a tourist destination, I suppose, to walk up and get an amazing view.
You're sick.
We got halfway up the public footpath, and Sophie needed a number two.
No, I had food poisoning and I needed to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, to do a number two.
No, just to release, not that.
Halfway up the mountain on a public footpath in sight, Sophie took a poop and I had to take my boxes off, and you had to use it as loo paper.
Okay, has anyone got any worse than that? Please write it in to us.
Okay, so I thought what we should do today, Soph, is we should play a little game. So we have made a wheel of holidays, which is basically a wheel that has mine and your name on it, right? And what happens is, when you spin the wheel, whatever name it lands on gets to choose what they want as their holiday. So we're going to have five different options. Destination type, holiday type, location, board basis, and one facility which is a must. Do you get it?
Obviously I get it.
Let's spin the wheel and play the Wheel of Holidays game.
Da, da, da.
Oh, Sophie.
It's me.
Okay, so
it's me.
Destination type. You can pick a city break, a short haul beach holiday, a long haul beach holiday.
A long haul beach holiday.
Wow. Why that?
Because it's long haul. I love the flight. I love going far away, and it's more exciting.
All right, I'm with you on this one.
Okay.
I'm glad you picked. Okay, spin the wheel properly. Go. No theme tune music.
Jamie.
Here we go. Holiday type: adult only, luxury hotels, or spa and relaxation. I'm going to go for spa and relaxation. I'm gonna go. Do you know what? I'm gonna change it. I'm gonna go for luxury holidays.
Yeah, amen.
I'm gonna go for luxury holiday, long haul flight, luxury holidays.
Beach
okay,
holiday
next
too.
One is Damn. Location. This right. is big.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh,
Sophie. Okay, location. I'm
Balearic Islands, Canaries, Spain,
Turkey, Greek, Dubai, Mexico, Florida, Dominican Republic. Come it's got to be Mexico.
The next one is board
Ready?
Basis. Yeah.
Ba-la-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Jamie, okay, I'm going to go for half board. The last one is one facility, which is a must.
Okay, right, ready. Ba-la-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Sophie! Oh, okay. One facility that is a must, absolute swimming pool.
Guys, I think we're both pretty happy with this.
Jamie, this is actually our perfect trip. But you know what? Love Holidays offer a choice of over 39,000 hotels, from beach breaks to city escapes, with long to short haul options. Plus, they make it so simple to select and adjust all your holiday options, so you get the perfectly tailored package holiday without any of the fuss.
So guys, all you got to do is send in your stories, disasters, whatever it is, to newlywedscompetition.com, and then the stories are going to go in there and we're going to read them out on the podcast, and someone is going to be a lucky winner to win a £5,000 holiday. It's going to be incredible. So get sending in your stories right now. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I said it at the beginning, I'm going to say it freaking again. We need a therapist on.
Well, we don't, but you continuously tell me that we have bad sex.
I never say that.
That's not what the headline says.
You said
That's
I was bog standard.
That's not what the Daily Mail says.
You said I was bog standard.
All right then, pussycat doll. Let's
All right, pussycat
on.
Doll. Please, ladies and gentlemen, to help Sophie with her sex drive. We're going to bring on Charlene Douglas, renowned sex therapist, to not only open the conversation up about sex, because I think it's important, but also to maybe sprinkle in between our own issues about sex, because I think on this show we'd like to be authentic and real. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast, Charlene Douglas.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Charlene, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I think you were our first ever guest on the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that very, very well.
I feel so special.
Can I quickly just say this, Charlene,
yes.
Honestly, and I'm sorry, this is going to be a little bit upsetting for you, but Sophie and I...
Oh my God, you make me fall in the arms. Wow.
We were... This is our sex
Why
life.
Why do you have to say it this, so weird?
This is our sex life at the moment, okay? Sophie and I were getting down and frisky, and Sophie went to me halfway through, well, you found it this time.
It does move, though.
Said that as well. And I said, yes, it does.
Does the clip move? I swear it does.
I think it gets bigger.
No, I can't bear it. My dad, if he listens to this, I'll be sick.
Oh, he is. Hello, Patrick.
No.
Hello,
But you know, Patrick. Everyone has sex.
Yes.
It's important for people to know the facts. So
thank you.
Maybe your dad might want to know the facts.
Oh, God, Charlene, I'm not sure I can listen
but,
to
so
that.
So the clitoris, oh, my God.
Yeah, because it engorges with blood as you become more and more sexually aroused. So if it was growing, it might have felt like it was moving. That's probably because you're sexually aroused.
Wow.
Oh, no, I don't feel like it's moving in me, but, like, sometimes it's there and then sometimes it's there.
I mean, so the way that it would work is that if you're not sexually aroused, it might be that it's a little bit more covered because you've got the clitoral hood that kind of covers it.
Oh, God, no, I don't think I can do it.
And then...
It's like an Easter egg hunt. Where is the egg?
There you go. And that's the sexy part of it. Where is the egg?
Where's the egg?
Okay, right. No? Okay.
But what, okay, Johnny, you have to do this. Why do people become nervous talking about sex? Why is it?
I think there's a number of reasons. I think oftentimes it's the way that we've been educated about sex. Like even when we're younger, right, you speak to your parents about something that you've heard at school and they look really uncomfortable. Or that moment where someone's kissing on TV and everyone's like, oh my gosh. So yeah. I think from an early age, the message is that sex is a bit mysterious, a bit naughty, shouldn't really be doing it. And I think that just kind of continues with us well into adulthood.
I think you're kind of right. So yeah. So how do we then, okay, because you've got your book as well.
I have.
Which is called what?
Come Closer.
Okay.
Everything you ever wanted to ask a sex and relationship therapist, Charlene Douglas, I am in.
Yeah. Because, Charlene, I imagine this is, well, you can explain. What is the book about?
So I get asked lots of questions about my role as a sex relationship therapist. Usually on a night out, people are like, so you're a therapist? And, you know, obviously I like the reaction. So I'm like, I'm a sex therapist. And they're like, oh, really? And then I get loads of questions about fantasies, about orgasm issues, about low sex drive. And so for me, I'm like, okay, let me write a book and let me answer all the questions. And it's all in the book. And I had a bit more control over what I could say in this. Because obviously, you know, when you do TVs, all the naughty bits are edited out.
Yes.
But the naughty bits are kept in.
That's amazing.
Oh my God,
because I definitely think that. Shani, how do we then, okay, for people listening, if they are going like, oh, I want to have this conversation about sex, but I'm feeling nervous about it, whoever they're talking to, how do they start that conversation?
So I think the first thing you have to do is make sure that you have a comfortable, healthy relationship with sex yourself.
Yeah.
So if you're super awkward about sex and you're then trying to speak to a partner or your child about it, it's likely that they are going to acknowledge or recognise that you're not really that comfortable about it. Which will mean that they may not ask more questions.
Ah.
Right?
Okay.
So, have you ever spoken to someone who looks super uncomfortable? Right.
Totally.
Let's think about sex education at school.
Yeah.
The PSHE teacher.
Not good. Creepy. Weird. Right.
Really uncut. Everyone's really like,
I remember asking my teacher when I was younger. I remember I had just found out about masturbation. And anyway, I asked my teacher at the end of our edge sex education. I said, just, you know, are there some people out there who, is it a problem if you, you know, orgasm too much? And he went, are you saying, do you masturbate too much, Jamie? And I went, I couldn't believe you'd asked me that question.
Who were you asking? Just a biology teacher?
Yeah, a biology teacher. Well, he was the only person who could ask.
Out of nowhere, you just went up to him.
We had just did a sex education class. And at the end, I said, well, can someone basically orgasm too much? Because I think I was 14 years old and just discovered it. And I was like, this is exciting.
Yeah, you kind of indirectly told him that you masturbate a lot.
When you're 14, do you masturbate all the time?
Oh, honey, honestly, my pencil case could rub past and that turned me on. Honestly, it was.
I'm fascinated.
We were watching a history lesson once and Anne Boleyn came up and I was like, I gotta go.
You're joking.
Honestly.
Is that overstimulation or is that normal?
I had to do it in the history class.
No, you didn't.
Oh my gosh.
So but I thought about it. It was a fire in London was burning in the background.
So do boys then at school, because girls I think are quite different, I don't know. Mm. Are you like going to the loo in the...
Yes.
How many times a day?
Probably, I was once a day at least. Maybe twice.
What?
Is that too much?
Well, I mean, you know, I think when something's quite new...
Yeah.
And it's exciting, it feels good. We want lots more of it,
correct,
right? And that's why, you know, for a lot of people when they're in relationships for quite a long time, they've had all the sex that they could have, in inverted commas, and so they're like, this is kind of not doing it for me anymore. I need something new.
Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
Right. We've been married nearly a year now. Coming up to
We've
been married a year, honey. And you seem excited about that.
I am really excited.
How do we keep, and I'm really going to listen now rather than just, because how do we keep our sex life fiery and exciting? Because recently, for the past maybe couple, maybe month, my libido has been lower, but I think that's because of stress.
Mm.
Can that happen?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, most definitely. The thing is, you know, in a relationship, the expectation cannot be that throughout the whole time that your sex drive is like really, really high. That's the ideal situation, but of course that's not really going to happen because life happens, stress, other priorities, etc. What you need to make sure is that you have created a strong foundation, so you've got like the emotional intimacy that will never go, right? And you keep working on that. But you also maybe have to schedule in sex, which I know that sounds a little bit not very sexy, but sometimes that's the only way when you're really busy to make sure that it happens and you just then enjoy yourself within that space. In saying that, when I say schedule in sex, I don't mean that during that time you have to have penetrative sex, like it has to happen, but it's more like you've carved out some time to have some alone time to connect.
Come on.
This is interesting. Got to keep that emotional spark alive, honey.
Are you telling me? Like I think it takes two to tango. If I'm...
I'm tangoing.
Are you? What are you trying to point out there?
No, I'm not trying to. I think that's really interesting.
But okay. But if keep sex exciting. Maybe you try new things. Maybe you heat up the oven in different ways. And I keep going back to. So if you suddenly walked in like underwear, that would be sexy.
I walk in underwear every day because I wear underwear every day.
Very true. Yeah, but maybe underwear with a purpose.
No.
Yeah.
So, Jamie, are you saying that you would like to feel that Sophie has made an effort in terms of, let's say, lingerie?
Oh, my God. That would be fantastic.
And she is coming to turn you on.
Here we go. Now we're talking, baby. Damn straight. Now your turn to listen.
Go buy me some nice lingerie then.
Why do I? That's an effort. Then it feels like...
I can't.
But this is interesting though, because what I'm hearing is that the two of you have two different ways or just many different ways of feeling turned on. So Jamie,
ask us the question, how do we get turned on? Why do you ask this? But then this is therapy session. Ask Sophie first.
Okay.
How do you get turned on, Sophie?
Just am. Like, I just am or I'm not. There's nothing specific that turns me on.
Okay. I would challenge that.
Really?
Yeah. I feel that if you were able to sort of step back and think about a time where you were really turned on, you should be able to identify what the external situation and internal situation looked like for you. And what I mean by that is, were you not feeling very stressed? What did you not, maybe you didn't have much work on? Maybe you were in a hotel somewhere. Maybe you and
you
Jamie
were with
were
a
really
stranger.
Maybe you and Jamie were really getting on. You were having a good laugh. You were spending some really nice quality time together. You know, maybe you'd gone to the gym, you felt really good. I feel like there would be something within that.
Well, the last time you got turned on, you were watching Casey from Yellowstone. So that's the thing I'm worried about. You were watching Yellowstone and you went, oh, and I was like, and then that's when you get turned on by Yellowstone. That's what we got to do. Just whack on Yellowstone in the corner and you're ready to rumble.
Not true.
Okay, so when was the time?
I don't know. I honestly swear to you, I've always found really interesting about boys and girls. Like, I don't, like, I can look at, like, a boy, Jamie.
Yeah. Okay.
And obviously, but I've never got like that, like, rah, like, I just am or I'm not.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that you need to have the rah, because a lot of women don't have that. You know, for a lot of women, they need to kind of start the act and then the sexual desire starts to come from that. Oftentimes for guys, it's a little bit different. They can just see a bra strap and it's like, ooh, good to go.
Honestly, I think that's what happens to me sometimes. How do you do it? Okay, for every day. So if you're someone in a relationship and you perhaps want to make the evening a little bit like sexy and exciting, what are the like rules, like a three-step rule or two-step rule to make it like, okay, it's on tonight?
Yeah, I think the key is you have to speak to your partner to see what works for them, because I can give what works for me.
Yeah.
But you're not in a relationship with me, you're in a relationship with Sophie, right?
That's so true. So
what's really important here is that you're able to have a conversation to establish, like, what does it for you? What does it feel like to have, you know, time with your partner that feels really relaxing, that feels sensual? So for some people, it might be that you maybe take an afternoon off work and maybe you tidy the house, maybe you do, you know, prepare a nice meal, maybe some candles, maybe you get like a Spotify playlist of music that you both like, right? Mm-hmm. But that, you know, that turns you both on. Maybe it's running a bath and putting some petals in it. Maybe it's audio erotica.
Give me an example. What's audio erotica?
So audio erotica is basically scenarios that you can listen to that are sexy. The one thing that I hear women say quite a lot is that they feel like even if they give their partner a hug, they feel like their husband or their partner is getting really turned on, starting to get an erection, and before they know it, he's in. Right?
Yeah.
And because there's that kind of, I say, anxiety around, oh my gosh, here we go again, like we're going to just have to go the full hog now and swing from the chandeliers, it then means that it puts the woman off just even wanting to kind of have a cuddle.
Is that what happens?
Like, yeah, because they're like, well, we can see where this is going.
You know what? Maybe what turns me on is, oh God, I can't even.
Come on, get it out. Just let loose.
It's like
let loose.
You
let
having
loose.
A lower libido for you, because that makes me more inclined, because exactly what you just said, I now can touch you, we can touch without you like, oh, poking me in the back with a big old whatever.
That's interesting.
I think that's
what
it
I took
is.
Out of that is big. That's what I took out of that conversation.
Nothing else.
I can tell you that's all really I heard. Not, that's a turn off, isn't it? When it's like,
that is so interesting. Shane, can I ask, how long is a piece of string? But how many times a week should partners be having sex? Because I think sex is important, right? Because it keeps you intimate, it keeps that spice alive, it keeps you flirting. So what is a good number?
So this, I get asked this question literally all the time.
Okay.
And I feel like,
glad that it's a new one.
Literally all the time. And then what happens is that as I'm saying all that I'm saying, everyone sort of looks at me waiting for the number. They hear nothing else I
say. Don't care about that.
Yeah. What's the number, Shanti?
Give me the number.
So research has said that on average couples have sex around like once every week, once every 7-8 days, that, you know, that kind of thing. However, there are lots of couples that have sex more frequently than that.
Yeah.
And there are lots of couples that, for various reasons, they're not having sex for a period of time.
Got it.
So it's more about what works for the two of you.
Yeah.
That's the key, right?
What diplomatic answer.
So I know, you know, it is a diplomatic answer, but it's more about what you need in any given moment. But I would say that I think the work is looking at what the sexual experience needs to look like for both of you to feel turned on, to feel excited. Because I'm wondering if, and this is what I've said in the book here, if sex was the way that you wanted it in terms of where it really turned you on, and I'm not saying that your skill set isn't great, I'm sure your skill set is on point.
It's more than on point.
And I believe you. But what I'm wondering is maybe more conversation needs to happen around making sure that both of your needs are met. So classically speaking, and I'm not saying this is happening in this relationship, but usually what I see in heterosexual relationships is guys will do 4 seconds of foreplay and then penis is in, then they come and then they fall asleep. And if you're lucky, you'll get a cuddle at the end of it. If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
And then when you get the cuddle, you feel their arms go because they're falling asleep.
That is not me.
I like physical touch all day, every day.
Did you realize that? Sophie didn't answer that?
Yeah, I know. You didn't answer.
I like just a hand on me at all time.
Sophie honestly likes that, like that. I tell you what, if I was having sex with Sophie while gossiping, that would be her dream. Honestly, that would be while like Desperate Real Housewives is on in the background. That would be like your complete dream scenario, I really think. But that's interesting. So you need to, I do agree that I think men are more selfish when it comes to sex, typically. Is that right or wrong?
I would say that men have learned what they need to do in order to feel sexually aroused, yes.
Because when it comes to your partner, you sometimes, what's important, this is it. When you're having sex, it's not about you. It's about them. And if you're both thinking that, then you're going to have a great time.
I agree. I think you do have to keep yourself in mind in terms of what turns you on and be clear about that. But I think the key is that you need to communicate before you even have sex about what you enjoy, you know, what things you want to include in the world of sex for the two of you and what you don't.
That's quite awkward to do, though, isn't it? With, like, people you're early dating to talk about sex.
Well, I mean, think about it. We allow ourselves to be physically vulnerable in terms of naked with our partners, right? Or with a new partner. But we don't allow ourselves to be emotionally vulnerable in terms of speaking about what we like. So then what then happens is that we then expect our sexual partner to just kind of know what to do. They should know what to touch. But their only source of reference is their last partner or whatever they've seen on TV or porn. And that might not be what does it for you. So if you're not having a conversation about it, there are couples that for years are just having the most boring sex ever, where it's like, and this happens a lot, right? Heterosexual couples, the guy needs sex, the woman just gives him sex so that he will just not be sexually frustrated. And then they'll wait for 2 or 3 weeks because he's getting a bit ratty again. And then it's like, we'll give him sex again. But I'll say to women, look, like, what do you like? What do you enjoy? You know, if you don't like penetrative sex, do you like oral sex? Do you like anal sex? Do you want a massage? Do you want to just be touching certain places? Do you want your nipples sucked? Like, what do you want?
Come on, there we go.
Because there might be other things that just do it for you.
Well, it's because I think it's a good conversation to have. It is.
You're thrilled.
I am thrilled because I honestly think sometimes that people, again, you can see it when we're having the conversation, people tighten up and they become a bit tense. And who gives a shit? It's sex. Everyone's doing it. Everyone wants to do it.
Yeah.
It's the greatest natural drug out there.
But the thing is, because everyone has a different relationship with sex in terms of their history, right? It's about establishing the environment, make sure the environment is right to have the conversation. Now, of course, we're having this conversation on a podcast. Millions of people are going to be listening to it. So this...
I forget that sometimes. You just remind me. Let's delete everything. I've completely forgot that people are actually listening to this.
So if it's just the two of you, or if we were working together, then you'd realise then that you'd be able to say more. You'd speak openly about what you like. So it is about making sure that you've created the right environment as well.
Charlene, when can we get the book?
Okay, so it's currently on pre-order, but it's available from the 6th of June.
We adore you.
Thank you so much.
I want everyone to go and check out your book, and we're going to put all of that in the show description so everyone can click there. And also, Married at First Sight.
Yay!
I heard you're up for a BAFTA.
We've been nominated. I'm so excited. But I feel like, you know, you always have to kind of practice the face expression if you don't win. And you just have to clap because the cameras, they're waiting for your face expression. So I've practiced the clap.
You're going to be amazing.
What is it?
That's it. Okay.
Well done.
Hopefully we win.
We have to ask one question, right? Because I know everyone listening will want to know the answer to this question.
Yes.
In Married at First Sight, it's two people who never met before who, when they turn and they see each other for the first time, they get met. They basically meet at the altar and they get married. People always want to know, is it real? Is the first time the two people see each other when they enter the room and they turn and look at each other?
100% real. Absolutely. That's wild. Can see their face expressions. Our couples are very honest, right? So in the media, if it wasn't the first time they'd seen their partner, they would say, and they would all say, this: it's the first time they've met their partner, their face expressions never lie, and that's where the work and the fun begins.
Amazing. Charlene, thank you so much for coming on here. We adore you. Thank you so much. We love you.
Thank you, Charlene.
Right. So tonight, go and get some lingerie.
Oh my God.
I'll work on Yellowstone.
Yellowstone? You're basically just, no.
You can watch Casey.
Casey is fit.
I knew it. I knew it was Casey from Yellowstone.
It's not.
How fit do you find him?
Kevin Costner, it's not just Casey. Kevin Costner is absolutely 10 out of 10. He is 70, but
If Kevin Costner walked in with Casey and they said you can have one of them, who would it be?
Casey, are you joking?
You wouldn't take down Kevin Costner?
Oh, it's a really tight course.
I don't think you would take them down. They would definitely take you down. They'd lasso you like one of those little goats they get. Quite like that, wouldn't you?
Oh, I mean.
Yeehaw!
Giddy up!
Okay, listen, guys. I want to say a big thank you to everyone who always listens to our show. Thank you so much, and thank you for supporting us on tour.
Yeah, no, honestly, I can't actually believe that we're doing it. It's so, like, pinch me moment every second.
Thank you for subscribing to the show and following it. It really helps us and it does amazing things. And also, thank you for proposing the pod, which, if you don't know what that is, it's where you sing and shout about our podcast in amazing ways. And we got a lovely poem from Olivia, who's a poet from North Yorkshire, and she has a poem for us, and it's amazing.
This poem is called Jamie and Sophie, Sophie and Jamie. If you've got a moment, if you've got the time, I'd like to propose the pod with a little bit of rhyme. Jamie becomes a husband, Sophie becomes a wife, the hilarious power couple with a passion for life, and poo. There's guaranteed laughter, there's guaranteed smiles, there's gobble, 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 there's long nails and piles. The highs and the lows, the booms and the blips, Sophie's mispronunciation and Jamie's chapped lips. You'll be howling with laughter and, oh golly gosh, wait for the episode about the butternut squash. Stuck up the arse, not once, but twice. And can we all take a moment to please be precise? Is it Lang or is it Leng? When I'm walking, when I'm cooking, when I'm all on my tod, what makes my day better? It's listening to the pod.
Olivia, thank you.
No, that's amazing.
That's amazing. Hey, listen, if you want to propose the pod as well, you can send us an email or a voice note or anything you want. Poems are gladly welcome. We love you guys. Honey, that's the end of the show.
That's the end of the show.
That's the end of the show. But don't
we
worry.
We love you guys.
We're going to be back next week on your Monday. So set your alarms.
And set your tits.
Set your tits.
I don't know, it just slipped out.
If you're getting married.
Good luck.
If you're getting.
My favorite thing is when I see Jamie G crack a laugh, I'm like, made it.
If you're getting divorced.
You rock.
If you are single.
Go get him, Tiger.
If you're just getting engaged or you're thinking about doing it.
Oh, buckle in and strap yourself down.
And if you're just a lonely wanderer in this world.
Just keep on lonely.
We love you. See you next week. Goodbye.
Love you. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.